We are up to Aleph Amud Beis in the Miss Yerushalmi set up here, where it says Simon Adavar. Is that it says Aleph Amud Beis? The Yerushalmi does not begin on Daf Beis like the Bavli, where it says Simon Adavar, the first of the very thick lines, the fourth word on the line. I think I put a mark there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Yerushalmi gets off on a very different tangent than the Bavli. Yerushalmi wants to define day and night. Right? I think I mentioned last week that this is actually a concern of other Masechtas. Masechas Shabbos, Masechas Psachim, right? Masechas Psachim at the end, when describing when we can start our Seder. Masechas Shabbos, obviously very much concerned with when Shabbos starts and when Shabbos ends. Now, this is also, just in Derech Bekiyus, a main concern of many other Masechtos, in order to properly define day and night. Not only like the Mishnah and Megillah for the mitzvahs that can only be done by day, and the mitzvahs that can be done by night, for Kachim, when is my time over to eat this meat, Osova Espino, slaughtering a cow and its an animal and its young on the same day. So there are essential reasons to know just when does this day end and the next day begin. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara Willem is about to tell us that there is a time upon which, until which it is certainly day. There's a time after which it is certainly night, and then there's going to be that time in the middle. Okay, so we're going to see different opinions about how much time that is. Different opinions in the Gemara, different opinions in the Mefarshim and the Rishonim. And some being much longer than others. And the let's now turn to our subject. Siman Ladavar, you see it? Okay. A more precise time than regarding when Kohanim can eat their truma, it says, Simon Adavar Mishayotzu HaKochavim. Look when the stars come out. All right, how many? To what extent? The Gemara still says, V'afal Pishayin Raya L'Adavar Zecha L'Adavar. We can see that the definition of night is when stars come out, based on this pasuk. Bavli quotes this pasuk too. It's a pasuk in Nehemiah, describing the efforts that people made in rebuilding Yerushalayim. Look at the pasuk. V'anachnu osim melacha, we would do the work at rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim. V'chatziim machzikim b'remachim me'alot ha-shachar ad tzeis ha-kochavim. We would do the work from dawn until the stars came out. That's a terminology in Tanakh. He's saying that half of us have to do guard duty because the Shomronim and the Persians and the anti-Semites wanted to stop them from rebuilding, just the way Israel had to be rebuilt. Right? There you go. Yom is called Alos Tetzes. Whose very famous opinion is that? The Magen Avraham. That's why when you see your Zmanim, you see your times for Sof Zman Tefillah, Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, the last, various times. You always have the broader time period is the Magen Avraham, who holds from dawn to stars, and your time period is the hours are going to be longer at the edges. So Sof Zman Kriyat Shema is going to be always a lot earlier for the Magen Avraham because it's starting much earlier, right? As opposed to the Vilna Gaon, who goes from sunrise to sunset. The Vilna Gaon is basically the opinion most people could hold. Usually you see calendars that give you the Magen Avraham for Sof Zman Kriyat Shema and sometimes Sof Zman Tefillah also, right? But the other Zmanim are all Vilna Gaon Zmanim. There's just one day a year where the calendars almost exclusively give you Magen Avraham Zmanim. Erev Pesach. They don't even tell you, this is Vilna Gaon, this is Magen Avraham. But when they tell you, you can't eat Chametz after 10:53, that's Magen Avraham. The Vilna Gaon, you can eat chametz for another 15-20 minutes. You'd be worse than the Vilna Gaon to take it. But you think, well, if I eat chametz, machayev kares, no, machayev malkas, right? But the fact is that all the calendars use Magen Avraham's manim at that point. Because on Erev Pesach, you want to be as machmir as you can be. Okay, so let's continue. Kama kochavim, right? Kama kochavim yatsu v'yehei laila. How many stars have to come out for it to be considered night? Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Papa. This opinion says, kochav echad vadayom. If you see one star, it's certainly day. Shnayim, Suffolk laila, got it? If you see two stars, it's a doubt. It may be night. Shlosha, if you see three stars, vaday laila, and you know it's nighttime. So the Gemara says, two stars is a suffolk? Shnayim suffolk v'hoksi v'tzeis ha-kochavim. Didn't Nehemiah say when the stars come out, it's night? Elamiyut kochavim shnayim. Right? Aren't two stars is enough? So the Gemara says something very interesting that's readily available to us, but from this part of the world, only from about April, May, until the end of September. Kadmaya lo mischashev. The first one we never count. What are we talking about?
Venus,
correct. Mm-hmm. No. Venus is plus it's you know, not everyone knows, understand that, but yeah, it's too big. That's what we're going to see. Three medium-sized stars. We don't want to even count those big ones. But the Kadmaya lo mischashev, the first one you see, isn't counted in the Tzeis HaKochavim. That's why you need three. So we at least get the Kochavim.
So the Gemara understood the difference between planets and stars.
Yeah. The Gemara identified the Zion Kochav Leches. That would mean the sun, the moon, earth, and four more they knew about.
Sun, the moon, earth, and
sun, the moon, and the earth, and they knew Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and Jupiter.
So Venus is included in the 38 stars, right?
Right, but to be Vaday Laila, just to fit the pasuk in.
But you don't see Venus and Mercury at the same time, isn't one in night, one is day? I forget.
No, the Chinami, but it's just a time of year depending on where you are on the globe. But as far as the the conclusion of the Gemara, Venus is not included in the three stars. It's too big.
Okay.
It's too big. Thank you. Okay. But Erev Shabbos, Ra Kochav Echod Ve'asa Malacha, Pater. On Erev Shabbos, get this, if you see one star and you do Malacha, you're Pater. Now, when we bench Lecht, it is 40, 45 minutes before you're going to see one star. Right? So in order to be Chayav on Shabbos for doing a Malacha,
there's
only 24 hours of Chiyuv. Yet we keep Shabbos 25 hours and some extra minutes, right? But in order to be violating Shabbos according to the Torah, to be chayav a korban, to chayav kares, whatever, it has to be during the time that is vaday Shabbos. So that time cannot be when there's just one star out, because we just said before that's vaday yom, right? Now, go out tomorrow, it's too late tonight, go out tomorrow and look at the sky. We used to do this in camp in an open sky. My kids and I used to sit at the docks and say the first one to recognize the star. After a few nights, you'd realize that they're pretty much coming out at the same place. But it was a cute little shtick to look all around and say, okay, keep looking. The first one to point out, oh, you win tonight. Right? So when that was finally happening, that was a good half hour to 40 minutes after we were making Shabbos. So what is our Gemara saying? Gemara is saying is that while truly we do make Shabbos at that point, but it's not a Torah violation. So herein lies the question. You're driving home, mm-hmm. and you're stretching the time. Mm-hmm. So most people say I can stretch 18 minutes, right? But from this Gemara we see, certainly, look, we don't want to be violating Drabbanans too, but there's some Drabbanans that are set aside in the case of a serious sakana. If you're driving through Harlem or something, and then it's, you want to leave your car there on 147th Street and walk the rest of the way home, or so, I don't know, whatever, mm-hmm. or driving through the Lower East Side, or you're driving through, whatever, you're driving far from home, or you're you're off the other side of the George Washington Bridge, and if to leave the car there in right by the toll, all right, so a kapara of the car, they'll tow it away, all right, I don't care. But to walk home across the bridge on a Friday night, man, it's crazy. If I can make it home, do I have some extra time? So that's the question. So we're going to try to conclude. I'll let the cat out of the bag. Today the poskim say you do have an extra 13 and a half minutes. You shouldn't after go beyond 18, that. After the 18.
18 and 13 and a half.
After,
you do have up to 13 and a half more minutes. To get out of a serious sakana. I'm not saying, look, you should prefer to get the car towed rather than that, but to put yourself into a sakana, get out of the car, find a place. I mean, what are you going to do where you are? I mean, to some extent, if you're in a bus or you're in a train, stay in the train. That's not a problem.
It's not a direct in the first place.
It's not a direct in the first place, right?
Can you shut the car off?
No, that's bikibui. If they, you can ask a Gentile to do that. That's a separate thing. Okay, so
Tosefta Shabbos is the rice.
So,
otherwise it doesn't make sense.
The Paskin at the Sefer Shabbos is a Doraisa, right? So Shabbos is 24 hours. Keeping more than 24 hours for Shabbos is a binyan av that we derive from Yom Kippur, Shim and Erev and Erev, and that is considered a Torah law. There's no question about it. We discussed that actually the first time. So, but the actual Chiyuv Midoraisa cannot come until you have Shnayim. Look what the Gemara says here, an amazing thing. Shnayim evi oshem talui. If you do malacha on Shabbos when there are two stars out, we have to bring an oshem talui. Why? Because we just said when two stars are out, it's a suffik. Shlosha mevi chatas. If you did malacha when three stars are out, then you're a shogeg. You have to bring a regular carbon chatas. Everyone understand the difference between this? When you know you ate chalev, you bring a chatas. When you're not sure if you ate chalev, you bring an oshem talui. There's a huge kasha in the Rambam from this. First, let me ask the general kasha and then the specific kasha. It's a very famous machlokas rishonim between the Rashba and the Rambam on the nature of a suffik in the Torah law. Familiar with the machlokas? The Rambam says that every suffik in the Torah law is no longer a Torah law. There's no such thing as violating the Torah on something that may be pork. Just the same, there's no such thing as observing the Torah by shaking something that may be an esrog. You have to know that this fits the category of this thing. Better to use a rotten esrog that you know is an esrog than to use a hider esrog that may be stolen or that may be grafted. Right? You have to know that it's it has to be kosher still, but even if it's the least, it's not a hinder at all. So that's the Rambam. Okay, the famous kasha everyone asks on the Rambam is that how could you ever bring an Oshem Talui? An Oshem Talui is when you have a suffek if you violated the Torah. If the Rambam is correct that every suffek in the Torah is a Rabbanon, since when do we have a mechanism to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash for violating a Drabbanan? Mm-hmm.
Issue is a suffik, or if he's misuffik if he did.
Oh, so now the famous teretz is a Gemara in Krisus. And then we'll see how it fits this Gemara right here. The Gemara in Krisus talks about two different scenarios. I eat this, and then after eating it, I come to a doubt whether this was chelev or shuman. Okay, chalev is unkosher, shuman is kosher, right? Okay, now I have two things here, right? I eat one was chalev and one was shuman, right? I eat one of them, and the other one gets lost, right? And I never know, I never come to learn which one was which, but I know I ate one of them. Okay. Remember this famous case from the Gemara says that you only bring an Asham Talui, right, when you know one of the two was Chelev and you know you ate one of them. But if you ate one and you're not sure if this one was Chelev or Shuman, that's the case the Rambam is talking about, and there's no Asham Talui on that. Because it's very possible that you ate something that was totally mutter. In this case, it's not a suffik in the metzias of the thing. No, we know one was chalev, one was shuman. One was definitely chalev. I'm just not sure which one I ate. Right? So the question is, what's our case here? And there are two stars out, and the guy does malacha. He knows he did malacha. He's just not sure if this is Shabbos or not. Right? This would seem to be a kasha on the Rambam. Now, it could be that the Rambam just disregarded this Yushami. This does not appear in the Bavli, this Cheshvan. Right? To have to bring an Oshem Talui on doing Malacha when it's Suffolk Shabbos or Suffolk not Shabbos seems to fly in the face of this Indian. It's like the case of one eating one meatball and you're not sure if it's pork or pork doesn't have a korban, but you're not sure if it's chaylev or shuman. So by mentioning this, the Rashba brings this as a raya for his position on Suffolk. All right, I'm not going to elaborate on it. I want to get through a little more of this because the Gemara has some fascinating offshoots of this inyan.
So why do we say each time safek midaraita lechumra?
You have to add one more word to that. Safek de oraisa is a chumra midrabanan. Okay. That's exactly what it is. A doubt in a Torah law becomes a chumra as a rabbinic law. Okay. B'motzei Shabbos, Ra'a Kochav Echad, on Saturday late in the day, if he sees one star, va'asa malacha, turn the page please. If he sees one star and he does malacha, mevi chatas, of course it's still Shabbos, right? Shnayim, mevi Oshem Tali. If he sees two stars out, he has to bring an Oshem Tali. Maybe it's not Shabbos, maybe Shabbos is over, maybe it's not over, right? Shlosha Potter. If he sees three stars, he's Potter. Okay. Right, so Tosfos increases, and Daf Yud Zayin says that the Bavli just starkly disagrees with this whole Cheshbon. The only way you bring in an Hashem Talu is where it's called Ikva Isura. Ikva Isura means that there's a Kvius for Isur. A kvias for Isur does not occur when I eat one and then I come to a doubt whether this was Shuman or not. Ikva Isura means that I know one was Chaylev, one was Shuman, and I just have to find out which one I ate. But this Yerushalmi's Cheshbon is a different Cheshbon. That's all. Okay. Mm. So Tosfos and Krisus does mention this on Daf Yud Zayin. Daf Yud Zayin
is one star, two stars, or three stars. Is that...
Plus, it's totally in such a mitzias, different parts of the world. There's a very different cheshbon of that. Mm-hmm. The southern hemisphere is a totally different view than the northern hemisphere.
Even in New York City with light pollution, you're not going to see the same stars.
That's for sure. Would you believe that we're going to see an opinion soon that Shabbos will start and end based on those different atmospheric conditions?
Yeah, my question is, now that we know, we can certainly tell a difference between Venus and the stars. So if you see two stars that you know for sure are confirmed stars, should that not be the end of Shabbos? Or the
well, that's why we have a calendar with times.
Okay, yeah. But it's technically two, right?
Yeah. Okay, so here too, look at the opposite. We say, if you do Malacha with one star, you bring a chatas. Two stars, Hashem Tali. Three stars, you're Potter, because they have three stars, Shabbos is over. Rabbi Yossi Brabun Boi. Everyone have the place?
Mm-hmm. Second line.
Okay. So he says that in Temor Shnayim Sofek, Rosh Shnei Kochavim Be'orei Be'erev Shabbos V'Hishu Bo, Va'asa malacha, Rosh Shnei Kochavim b'motzei Shabbos v'hishu bo va'asa malacha, monafshach, im rishonim yom heim, af achronim yom heim, ve'yichayev al achronim, im achronim laila, af rishonim laila, ve'yichayev al rishonim. This guy has bad news. What happened is, he did malacha at 6:07 on Friday. Right? And someone warned him, and he said, nah, it's not Shabbos yet. Right? And then he did the same malacha the next day. Right, let's say six. I mean, the days are getting a little shorter, but 6:07, the same time the next day. In other words, he did malacha both Friday and Shabbos afternoon at the same time. One of them is Mamanav Shach. He has to bring the carbon chatas. All right, that's pretty poshut. No, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Right. Hold on. Yerushalmi and Nazir. Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph lists in a case of Hasra Safek for a Nazir, lists our case, right? That it says with respect to Hasra Safek, right? All right, so there's Yerushalmi Nozir that brings up this question. Okay. The Bavli actually in Daf Lamed Hey in Mesechus Shabbos, if you look and see at the top, has a parallel sugya to this that says if someone did Malacha 2 days in a row, Friday and Shabbos at the exact same time, Miman of Shachi is Chayav Achatos. All right, he brings a Chatos, not an Oshem Talui. Right? You hear what I'm saying? In other words, we just got through a sugya that's saying 2 stars on Friday is Noshem Talui, 2 stars on Shabbos is Noshem Talui, right? But if you did the Malacha on the same Shabbos, 2 stars tonight, 2 stars tomorrow night, the Malach Shach, he's got it for
sure.
Yeah,
but one or the other.
Yeah, he doesn't know which one. When he's bringing the carbon has to have a Shem. Right? So what's the name on this carbon? Is it for the Friday night violation or for the Saturday night violation?
So Julian gave a word to this. It's called Hasra Safek. When you give someone a warning, it has to be...
For the carbon itself, you can't bring the carbon.
It's carbon chattas for Chil Shabbos. Iman of Shach, you violated Shabbos.
Yeah, but like, what's the difference? Independently, you haven't. Yeah, what's the difference if he does it on Friday night and on Shabbos, as opposed to somebody doing it on either or? It's either Shabbos or it's not Shabbos.
Okay, so our sugya does not raise this, but the Yushalmi and Nazir says it, that when the guy gives him the warning, he had to on Friday to tell him, okay, you say it's not Shabbos now, but if you do this same malacha tomorrow night, this will be violation of Shabbos. Manoshach, okay, Mela, you want to say now it's not Shabbos? So he says, this I read it down, Yerushalmi Nazir, Perkhes Mishnah Aleph, that he says he has to tell him, if he does the malacha now at this Banish Moshos, he has to tell him, if you do this malacha at the other end of Shabbos, it will certainly be over, and this is not a sort of suffix. So... No, I guess not. But this is his explanation. Okay, let's look at another interesting sugi here on this. It says Rosh Nekochavim Be'er Shabbos. Why, if while seeing 2 stars, Kotzar Kechatzi Grogeris, right? Shacharis, right? What does this mean? There's a mission Shabbos that says that the shear of kotzer is a shear of a grogeris, whatever you're harvesting from the ground. What if at the time of two kochavim, he was kotzer a half a grogeris, and then at shachris, the next morning, right, kotzer chatzi grogeris, and b'shachris, the kotzer chatzi grogeris, the next morning, he again harvested half a grogeris, and then, when he saw 2 stars on Motzei Shabbos, Rosh Nekochavim and Motzei Shabbos, V'kotzer Kechatzi Grogeris. See what he did? He did half the Malacha Friday night at 6:07, half the Malacha Shabbos morning at 10 a.m., when everyone knows it's Shabbos, half the Malacha, and half the Malacha on Shabbos afternoon at the same time. Yimav Shach, again.
Why is that different?
It's either Friday night that connects to this,
right,
or this that connects to Saturday.
Why should this be different?
Yeah, isn't this obvious from the previous case?
Yeah. It's a time and a half for overtime.
What do you say? Time and a half for overtime. How is it even possible?
Yeah, why is it even brought up?
Here's the thing. If the first one is true, isn't this obvious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, clever. Can you connect two
malachas
that happen
in two? Except, yeah, right. Can you connect two malachas that are not each
right. The other guy was not doing two half a malachas.
Right.
There is a Mishnah on this side.
Yes, yeah. The Mishnah on Seven Shabbos, but not like not this way.
Thank you.
Okay.
But only two of them are presumably.
So we say that the half of the grogeris, chever, we say that the half of the grogeris that he was kotzer in the morning can be mitzaref with either one of the two. Okay? Now obviously, based on the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, we have to say that this was known as all behelim echod. Right? This is called behelim echod. It's all in one set of forgetfulness, because if this was in two alamos, these half of shiurim are not mitzarif. All right, but that's obviously assumed in our Gemara. But the upshot is that the chiddush of this is that these two half shiurim, because if this is the whole shiur, well, of course it's mitzarif. It's mitzarif without the morning, right? So the answer is that, all right, you want to say that Friday night wasn't Shabbos yet? Well, then Shabbos was, the Saturday afternoon was, and that connects to the morning. Okay, next. Back to the Indian of three kochavim signifying night. Hadot tamar be'ilein delays or chashon mischamia be'amama bram be'ilein de'or chashon mischamia be'amama lo misharin b'hom. Okay, the three stars of which we speak are not the large ones that are sometimes visible by day, like Venus, right? Nor small stars visible only in complete darkness, but medium-sized stars. And we all know that, right? Mm-hmm. It always says in the calendars, three medium-sized stars, right? Okay. It says so in the Simon Reis Tadigimel, right?
Yeah, but
if
it's a medium-sized star,
then
you take out it.
From your, no, from your eye. Okay. No. Here's the point. The Gemara knows that at certain times of the year, there's at least one very visible star. Mars is also quite visible at some points. That at certain times of the year, there are some stars that are visible much earlier than Shabbos should start or end, and we don't want to count those. And there are some other stars that are not visible till much later, and we don't want to wait that long for Shabbos to end. So Kamash Malon, that we were talking about three medium-sized stars, and okay, and then we say, Amar Rav Yossi bar Abun, Uvilchud diyischamon tlosa kochvin bar min hadok kochavsa, and we need now. Here is what we this is commentary to what we said before. We need three stars besides that one. And again, he's referring to Venus.
Besides okay. Which one?
Besides Venus.
Sure. Right.
So why okay. Three stars besides Venus?
Besides Venus, because Venus is not included in this cheshbon at all.
No, Venus is seen. Stars aside from Venus.
No. That was in order to make sense of the pasuk in the Chaviah.
Yeah.
But for Shabbos being over, we need more. We need better than that. Okay. It's not going to be much time.
You're not learning from Tzeitz HaKochavim.
Right. Just this is his determination, and this is different than the Limud before. And when it says Bar Min Hado Kochavsa, so you see the Mefarshim Tzidur Shalmi say that includes Mars and Jupiter as well.
Okay. Which that not counted.
Not counted in these three
because they're very bright.
Yeah, not counted in these three.
Rabbi Yaakov, the difference between
not a kochav
and stars because they move differently in the sky.
Right, and it's not a kochav.
They knew them. The Babylonians knew that.
Right. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Duromana b'shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi. Okay. All right, this shita. Okay, he has another shita that the period of Safek is between one and two stars. Listen to this shita. Kochav echad vadayim. If you see one star, it's day. Shnayim laila. Two is night. Baruch, that's you. That's back to you with Nehemiah. Two is certainly night. V'leis le safek. Right? Islay safek ben kochav v'kochav. I don't have a suffix with one or two. There's no suffix for me. My suffix comes between one and two. Okay? It's a very short time period. That's my suffix, between one and two. Now, you see the name of this shita? It's called Yaakov Ramon B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda Ben Pazi. Right? Now, there's a shita in the Bavli, Rabbi Yossi, who mentions this also in the beginning of the Maseches Brachos in the Bavli. He says, Bein Hashmashos Keheref Ayin. You ever hear that shita?
Uh-huh.
Keheref Ayin. The halachic definition of Bein Hashmashos is just a blink of an eye. The closer you are to the equator, the faster that's going to go. But here he's saying that I don't have my suffix is only between the first and the second star. We don't pass it this way. Tani. Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Madimim Zehu Yom. Turn. As long as Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, Shabbos Daf Lamed Hei says, the sun's rays pass over the arc of the earth. Sunset has happened already. You don't see the disk of the sun. But the sun still has rays that are shining over. This, I think, is what makes the sky blue, right? It's reflecting over a largely blue or green planet, and it mixes with the light. It comes out blue at the top. Right on a cloud of the sky, so that those that ref, ref, whose rays that you can still see until the earth turns so much that the rays just get lost out in the sky and you're totally on the other side. So as long as you see any remnant of that light, so you're still daytime. Okay, this is a little more sketchy.
This is Plan Misra. The sun says the west.
Right, so Adrabah, you can still see some light even in the east.
So this gets dark for the west, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. You ever see, remember the Gemara in Brachos that says that one person praises a person who davens im dimdumei chama, remember that? And then Abaye curses someone who davens im dimdumei chama. So what's the argument? Is this praiseworthy behavior from one rabbi is cursed by another? So Abaye explains himself. He says that I don't like people davening mincha so late because they might miss the zman if they're used to davening late. So what about the other guy? The other guy has an interesting pshat. And he says it's not only mincha, it's shachris. To daven in dim dumechama means daven when the rays of the sun are starting to reflect, to pass over the arc of the earth. It's before sunrise, before sunset. Why? Because then it's not tfilas keva. Of set tefila so keva, because it's in the same sugya where the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, of set tefila so keva, if tefila so tachanunim, because tefila so keva we always thought meant the same davening, or, you know, the same without anything new. But tefila so keva, going to this, means you're davening at the same time every day. 2 o'clock, mincha. 7 o'clock, shachris. No. Every day should be a new metzias, depending on the movement of the sun, in the new mechama. That's the same Lashon Har Gemara is using here. So this is a reference to the eastern sky. It's a very interesting thing. So the sun's rays pass over the arc of the earth and still shine in the west, but Abaye says it refers to the eastern sky, right? Hechsifu zeu ben hashmashos. Okay. Right, so when the redness of the sun gives way to hechsifu. Lashon of Kesef, actually, but Sifu means like a pale color. Remember which Masechta uses this Lashon very often? Masechas Pesachim, to describe the color of the bread when it starts to become chametz. Sifu pneim. So when the bread starts to turn a pale color, then you know you're getting into a chimutz process. So when the rays turn pale, this is the Ben Hashmashos. Hishchiru nasa elyon shava letachton zehu laila. When it becomes shachar, when it becomes dark, when the upper part of the sky is the same color as the lower part of the sky, then you are in Laila.
When you were talking about the medium size, how do you know that it's not a big star far away or a small star close to you?
It has to do with your eye.
That's what I mean.
Of course, yeah, it's your eye. You're right,
makes it medium.
Of course.
The apparent.
Right. So in the eastern sky, the horizon darkens before the upper sky. In the western sky, the upper sky darkens before the western horizon. Okay?
What did you say again? Could you repeat that about what you said about the person who is it that does not like that you should do your tefillah just when the rays...
Abaye doesn't like it. Doesn't like to dive in so close to sunset because a person may miss mincha that way.
Yeah, you know, and the other
10 minutes late, they'll miss it. The other person likes to daven mincha that way. He'll trust, he'll get to the end of time. He doesn't want people to daven at set times. We don't want to be doing things by rote.
Uh-huh.
We want to be able to, when should daven mincha?
I have to check a calendar. To the way when the sun's rays are just being seen or just disappearing, then it's different every day.
Right. Indeed, that's the glory of davening. Make it new every day. Make it change every day. Make it exciting every day. Make it different.
Shouldn't it be different every day? I mean, every week, Shabbos, everything is sunset and sunrise. Different every day.
If you daven that way, most shuls daven mincha at the same time. Okay. I'm sorry, no, we don't. Shachris at the same time. So mincha, most shuls do it. They do mincha at different times, so they can do mincha and mariv together.
Monday and Thursday. Who is that says that? Who is the one that likes that?
I heard. Yeah. Abaye. Abaye is the one who curses it, and if someone else likes it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Saginor. Yeah. It's like, there are many words like that in the Tanakh.
Is the calendar the same?
The word and its opposite.
The time's the same every year? I mean, that's how we know the prediction.
The same date of the year will always have the same sunrise and sunset.
That's how we
for a few hundred years. It may change slightly after a few hundred years. But, yeah. Okay. Rebbe Omer. Okay, let's continue. Another definition of Ben Hashmashos. Rebbe says that Ben Hashmashos will change depending on what time of the month it is. Now, we don't pasken like this at all. I'm just going to read through it quickly. Rebbe Omer, Halavona b'tkufasa, and this is why there's this big Maripanim on this, and on the previous sugya, because this is very, very complicated. You ever look in the Rambam and in the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh, and it's very, very complicated. These diagrams. So it's not. I know this is going to be too far beyond us. But if you want to really learn the second parak in the Sechas Rosh Hashanah, this is a nice sukkah to continue with. Rabbi Meir Halavona b'tkufasa hischil galgal chama l'shakeu tchilas galgal lavona la'alos zeu ben hashmashos. At Rosh Chodesh, the moon rises in the morning. It makes its appearance low in the sky after shkia, and then it sets. All right. As the month progresses and the moon gets bigger, it rises and sets later. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. As the month progresses, okay, as we said, until mid-month. By mid-month, it rises at sunset and it sets at sunrise. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's why we have we always have a nice Kiddush Levana when you do it at the end of the month. It's right there at sunset. Okay? And then it goes in the opposite direction, the way I just described. So Rebbe tells how to measure Ben Hashmashos in the middle of the month when the moon rises at Shkia. Okay? You can tell when the moon starts to rise, your Shkia. And the moon can be seen at that time. Hmm. All right? The Be'er HaGra discusses this at greater length in Or HaChaim. Not in Ochel Shabbos. He discusses it I have to look it up. But there's a big Be'er HaGra on this about using the moon to describe to define Rosh Chodesh. You know, I think it is. It's in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. It's in Siman Tavkuf Samach Gimel, I think. Right? It's in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Omar, to turn again. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Sof Galgal Chama L'Shakeo Tchilas Galgal Levona La'alos. I just described this. This is now talking about the end of the month. It just turns backwards. Okay, as the moon wanes, so it rises and sets earlier. Okay. Tani Shmuel came, Eina Levona Zerachas B'Shoa Shachama Shokas V'lo Shokas B'Shoa Shachama Zerachas. Shmuel, remember in Maseches Brachos a number of times, was a great expert in astronomy. He's the one who determined for us the 28-year cycle for Kiddush Shachama, and he says, I'm as familiar with the stars in the sky as I am with the streets of Nehardea. Yeah. So Shmuel is telling us a certain rule about how close the moon's rising and setting is to the sun rising and setting, and therefore to go with Rebbe's statement based on that. Again, this is very nebulous, so we don't use this determination. We have to go with something that's a little more clear. Okay? Let's finish this last sukkah for today. So this is now back to the beginning of the Mishnah that said that the time to say Kriyat Shema is tied into the Kohen who was tummy during the day and went to the mikveh and now wants to eat his truma the first chance he gets. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Gaon learned from here that the fact that the Mishnah said Ne'emas HaKohen Shema Ba'arvis, he didn't say Mishar Shakohanim Ochlim Truma San. What's the lashon of the Mishnah? Nechnosim lechol b'trumasan. It was nechnosim. They rush in order to eat their truma because it's a mitzvah for them to eat the truma. They missed it all day because they were tummy. So the fact that they eat their truma the very first chance they get means that's how we should daven ma'ariv. Mm-hmm. Remember the first class we learned? Can you have a 2 a.m. minyan lechatchila?
Yeah.
Many of the yeshivas have a 10 p.m. ma'ariv lechatchila all the time. All right, this doesn't seem to get the flavor of this Vilna Gaon here, but be it as it may, how can a Kohen be sure that his tevila preceded Ben Hashmashos? He has to go to the mikveh before Ben Hashmashos so that he can eat his truma after Tzeiso Kochavim. And again, why does the Bavli say that we mention it this way? Why not just say Meimas Hakohen Hashma B'Shat Ba'Arvin B'Shat Tzeiso Kochavim? Why does it say that? Why does it give this lashon of Kohanim to teach that even if the Kohen had to bring a korban together with his tumah. Mm-hmm. Right? He was a zav, he was a tzorah. He doesn't have to wait to bring the korban in order to eat the tumah. What is his korban for? He has to bring the korban in order to eat kachim. But he doesn't have to bring the korban in order to eat the tumah. Right? So that's called kapara lama akva. So the Gemara says in the beginning of the Bavli that this is why the Mishnah listed its reference to Tzeis HaKochavim in this very circuitous way.
It makes sense, right? Because if you think about it, that's what they ate, is truma. If otherwise he'd have to not eat anything until...
Well, he can buy cholin, but and he can.
Imagine a large. Amount.
If he had a tumma that had kapara to it, chances are very likely that he wasn't eating truma for 7 days already.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Right? He was a zav, or he was a mitzoros. He's been going without truma for a while. So in Echnami, but the point is that it's giving us this circuitous teaching in order to give us this extra limud. If you recall, just parenthetically, Tosfos in the first daf in the Seches Brachos in the Bavli asks, why are you telling me this derech agav? The Gemara in Yevamos says this beferish. In Perka Orel, this is a specific limud based on the Mishnah in the Goyim that says that a Kohen can eat Truma after it gets dark, if he went to the mikveh during the day, even if he has a korban to bring the next day. Right? So what does the Maseches Brachos have to do this? Why does a Gemara Brachos have to do this to teach me this law when Maseches Negoyim does it straight? Right? Tosfos doesn't give an answer. He just says, "Kein derech hashas." The Gemara does this sometimes. It teaches new law. It teaches let's teach the children learning brachas all these out of the way. It's Mishnah Negayim. What's Negayim? What's Tuma? What's Truma? We have to teach them so much just to get to the first line of Shas. Right? It's beautiful.
Either in math books, okay. They sometimes put proof, obvious, or proof, trivial, and you sit and stare at the space hour after.
Okay, let's just learn these next few lines, finish it up. So this is how a Kohen can be sure that his tefillah precedes Benesh Masha, so that he can eat Truma, it says. Okay, so Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya Bar Yehuda, B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, Hizchil Gagol Chama L'Shakeya, when the sun, the disk of the sun begins to set, okay, listen, look at this, is an amazing shir. Has anyone ever been up this place? Omed Berosh Hara Carmel. If you go up to Hara Carmel, it's near
Haifa.
The north, yeah.
Haifa.
Yeah.
It's in Haifa.
Yeah, it's where Eliyahu did his test there, right? If he's standing at Hara Carmel, V'yored V'tovel B'yam HaGadol, and he can go down. Haifa is on the water, right? The time it takes him to go from, now it seems from here, from the top of the mountain, to go into the Mediterranean. So if you were standing at the Rosh Har Carmel and you go down Tovel Bayam Gadol, the Ola, the Ocha Bitrumaso, Chazaka Biyom Toval. Right? If he's standing at Rosh Har Carmel and he descends, he has enough time to reach the Yam Gadol for the tefillah to take place by day. In other words, Ben Hashmashos is the time it takes you to go from the top of Har Carmel to get to the Mediterranean.
I'm saying
Ola
means he goes back to Har Carmel.
No. Ola means go out of the water. Okay.
That's significantly different from Harifayim. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. My next line here, I put in parentheses. Yeah, this seems to fit Rabbeinu Tam's much longer shir of Benesh Moshe. Rabbeinu Tam uses all kinds of proofs for his long shir of Benesh Moshe, and this is one of them. Okay. Okay. Now it could also be. Let me just see. Because the Bavli has a version of this shir also, and then the Bavli's version, it's he's standing at the foot of the Har Carmel. Okay.
How high is the
Mar? It's a big thing. I mean, it's not Masada, but it's you know.
Take a tram down.
Okay. Again, I say the Bavli's version of this is from the foot of Har Carmel to the Mediterranean. Okay, so. Chazaka b'yom taval, right? Hadod etema b'ahuda azale b'kapundra b'ram ahuda azale b'isarta lo b'da. Remember what a kapundra sounds like in Maseches Brachos?
Kapundra.
Remember what that is, right? Okay. So, it's only if he takes the shortcut down the mountain. Because there's a long road and there's a short road. The long road goes like this.
Right around.
Okay, then this is a shortcut, I guess. They actually have one like that down Masada.
Yeah, the snake path.
You can always see the snake path, but then there's a straight based on, it's pretty much straight down. You can see it. You save a lot of time.
I thought there's the regular snake path.
And even with the snake path, there is what they call a snake path. It's going like this. But there are some places where it could be dangerous. You can fall down. But it's never too steep from one landing to the next. But that's the same thing. So it's only when you take the shortcut. Remember in what context the Bavli and Brachas uses Kapendria? Right, you shouldn't take a Kapendria through a shul. Kapendria is a shortcut. You shouldn't take a Kapendria through a shul. If you have to get from one part of a shul to another, don't go through the base medrash or through the place of davening. Go the longer route. Now, however, there's a caveat. If you can go in there and take a sefer, open up and look at the pasuk and look at the Rashi, then it's okay. You can stop there.
That's really going to kill a shortcut.
No, it's still you stop there for some point. Okay, we will stop here for today, and we still look at the Gemara continues. Ezu ben Ashmashos. My goodness. This Gemara never quits.
This is what?
It'll say like.